watch any playoff game where he has.
So do you want to win or do you want to develop?
That should have been a team that you could turn it loose against.
Toucher and Rich, Zolak and Bertrand, Felger and Maz, Adam Jones, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's T&R, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
I will pay for the legal fees.
Well, we've played hard the whole year. We're going to be positive every day. You're the people being negative. You and some of the fans. Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. And if you expect them to walk through the door, they're going to be gray and old. What we are is young, exciting, hardworking, and going to improve. And people don't realize that. And as soon as they realize that those three guys are not coming through that door, the better this town will be for all of us. Because they're young guys in that room playing their asses off. I wish we had $90 million under the salary cap. Wish we could buy the world. We can't. The only thing we can do is work hard. And all this negativity that's in this town sucks. And I've been around, and when Jim Rice was booed, I've been around with Yastrzemski booed, and it stinks. It makes the greatest town, greatest city in the world lousy. The only thing going to turn this around is being upbeat and positive like we are in that locker room. So if you think that we're not coming to play against the Toronto Raptors, you're mistaken. Only we're not coming to play with McHale and Parrish or Cousy or Russell. We're coming with young guys who want to get better, want to play the game. And we're going to stay positive all the way through. And if you think I'm going to succumb to negativity, you're wrong. You got the wrong guy leading this basketball team.
We're joined by Rick Pitino, former coach of the Celtics, current coach of the Louisville Cardinals, who won the national championship. Rick Pitino, hello.
Good morning, guys.
You stink. You ruined the Celtics.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stat.
If I had my finger on the button, I would have done the exact same thing. I could not be more proud of you today than, I mean, I'm so happy right now.
Well, we're not going to get anyone from Premier anymore.
But no, I think it was worth it. You know, at least from my point of view, it was.
Sometimes it's where I had these questions.
Was awesome.
Like, why did you get rid of Red Auerbach? Why did you strip him of the title of president? I mean, but you know,
why didn't you have a farewell press conference? Why did you sign Travis Knight to a 7-year contract?
But you know what?
Why did you trade Chauncey Billups in his rookie year after drafting him third overall?
Wow, that was funny.
All right, well, I guess we're doing the stack then. That was...
He's hot and sizzling.
Get up in it. Start a rub. Get the wash off. I'm a rubber.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
It was the, yesterday was the 18th anniversary from the Rick Pitino thing that you were at.
March 1, 2000. I was present in the room when that happened live.
When did Yastrzemski get booed?
I don't remember that happening.
It's a good question.
I'm sure it might have happened once.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't remember that happening.
Is that
all
something that David Price threw out there too? Is some sort of example when he was talking to JD Martinez? Oh, everyone gets booed here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone gets booed. It's a terrible place.
By the way, okay, so I don't know if you heard about this, and I don't know if you were going to go in one direction, but I've got
Fine.
Okay. So did you see this ad that Fox is now running? Fox, of course, the bastions of all things integral and the all sorts of morality. This was a commercial that actually aired yesterday on Fox.
In 2006, O.J. Simpson gave a no-holds-barred interview, including his gripping account of what might have happened that fateful night. For over a decade, the tapes of that infamous interview were lost. Until now.
I'm going to tell you a story you've never heard before. It takes place the night of June 12, 1994, and it concerns the murders of my ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her young friend, Ronald Goldman. Forget everything you think you know about that night, because I know the facts better than anyone. This is one story the whole world got wrong.
Does he confess? You be the judge. O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession, Sunday, March 11th on Fox.
Okay, so this was, do you remember when O.J. Simpson, who was so hard up for money after the whole trial thing happened?
Yeah, he wrote like a book, If I Did It, or something.
It was called If I Did It, and when he released it, the Goldman family was like, hang on a minute, you owe us a gazillion dollars. We'll take that money, please.
Sorry, we just want a big civil lawsuit. Hand it over.
So what happened was, not only did they get the money from that, but they changed the title of the book to I Did It. instead of if I did it. They took the if away. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that part.
We actually had Fred Goldman on the show talking about that. This was years ago.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, I remember having him on. So what they're doing is Fox is feigning as if, whoa, this interview was lost for years and we just stumbled upon it. And it wasn't, hey, we were going to air this a long time ago, but people thought it was wildly distasteful.
So how about, like, it was 24 years ago and, like, now I don't particularly care what O.J. Simpson has to say about it.
Well, I think this interview
By the way, Quincy Jones came out and said that Richard Pryor had sex with Marlon Brando. And the ex-wife or the widow of Richard Pryor confirmed it.
And said, yeah, he probably would have hooked up with the radiator if he had a chance.
So what do I care about O.J. Simpson?
Well, I mean, it's, you know.
I know that he killed them. Well, so, like, what do I need? What do I possibly need to know about
this?
Well,
it's because Fox saw the success of their little show that they had, The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
That was
Ron is dead.
With the best acting of all time.
That was the worst acting I've ever seen.
Yes, of course.
But I'll tell you this, is that that was popular because it was so campy. I mean, that's entirely, it wasn't because it was like a gripping story.
It's like Ron is a footnote.
That is the worst acting performance.
That acting was so bad that I actually contacted immediately people at the station and I was like, you know how you usually get like lost in a show or something and sometimes you're aware there's acting? That was like, this is the worst acting I've ever heard.
And
in my
he had like
life.
A horrible fake mustache and everything. And his eye would get all quiet, like Popeye.
Ron is dead.
Yeah.
He looked like a puppet when he spoke.
But I mean, honestly, like, okay, what are you going to say? That you killed him? Okay.
Well, no.
Because you did.
No, this is the. So I think what he's saying here was promoting the If I Did It book when it first came out. So if you read the If I Did It book, which I read a lot of it because we got a bunch of them and it's, you know, it's like reading a pamphlet essentially. Right. I think he's just saying exactly what's in that book. So I don't know if there's anything new. I just love how Fox is like trying to be this, oh, we were just going through the closet, cleaning out, doing a little spring cleaning. And what's this reel in the back here?
Yeah.
Hey!
Well, you know, finally he'll get his comeuppance.
I guess he will.
You know, because he's been skating through life since that trial.
Jeez. He's hanging out like hockey games.
He could say anything in that, and I wouldn't care. We all are aware that you killed those people. I mean, we know it.
Right.
Like, what are you going to... Wow, you admitted it? Crazy.
Yeah, well, he admitted it in quotes because it's all under a guise that if I did it.
Right.
Get more viewers if he actually admit, this is how I stabbed her in the chest. It's double jeopardy, right?
By the way,
matter what he says.
No one cared about the book If I Did It.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, no one cared about that except it was audacious that he put it out.
Yeah, right, right.
But so 24 years later, someone's going to talk about something that we know that he did. Great. Like, do we care if O.J. Simpson's even in jail? Like, I don't even care.
I do find it interesting that he's out.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
fair enough. When was the last time you thought about it?
Whenever he pops up somewhere and there's a picture of him with anybody, I'm like, oh, that's not a picture. That is a tough one.
Yeah, okay, so how many times in the last 24 years have you thought about O.J. Simpson?
A decent amount. Like, when he got released, I listened to that trial. What was that, like, only like 6-7 months ago?
Yeah, that was a parole hearing.
Oh, I wanted to hear that live.
Yeah, I actually watched that. Yeah,
I'm more fascinated with it than I'd like to admit. And I did watch part of the People vs. O.J. Simpson outside of the corny acting, and boy, was it just the worst ever. I
mean, Ron is dead!
But there are parts of it that I found really interesting that I'd forgotten about. So, yeah, I do care about this more than I'm willing to admit.
I don't know. I mean, I know that he killed him. I mean, there's nothing more that I need to know about.
I guess there was an accomplice is the new stuff that's being thrown out there.
Fascinating.
So,
and why would he lie? You know?
Well, listen, as long as he explains the behind the scenes of Juiced, his prank show. Remember that
yes,
one?
Yes, I remember it from us playing the audio of it.
Well, we had a guy on who worked behind the scenes.
Yes, I do remember that. I remember that, but I don't remember Ron Goldman being on the show.
A long time ago. It was when that book came out, as a matter of fact. I think he was promoting it to try to get money for his family. He wanted that book to sell.
All right. Well, we are going to talk to Riley Nash, a unlikely hero for your Boston Bruins here.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com. Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Tucker and Rich.
I don't have a problem with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa. This is just a generic bed, dude. People are counting on the phone. 985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Riley Nash has been on hold. He already played. I don't even like that.
Yeah, you blew your shot. Yeah, sorry.
Get that one out of here. I don't like it. Riley Nash has patiently been waiting on hold because he called in too early. We're on time, actually. But Riley Nash, a surprise hero of your Boston Bruins. Hello, Riley Nash.
Good morning, guys.
You've always been a lunch pail guy. Now look at you, center in the first line, making things happen, scoring goals.
I don't know if you can call me a hero. Just trying to help those guys out a little bit. They're pretty good players, so they make the average guy look good.
What is your Bruins nickname around there? Because everyone always has like a little play on the Marshy and so. Were you Nashy?
I was Nasher. Yeah. Now that's taking a real turn for the worst. Now it's really confusing because he was Nasher too. Oh,
really?
Okay. So
that's how unoriginal every hockey player is. Sounds like you can't figure
alter
out
it.
Yeah, you can't figure out
to fit the player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a couple out there that probably aren't suitable for the radio, but for the time being, I'll stick with Nasher.
They should just call you Old Galoshes.
That's right. I don't know why they would do that,
because
Fred.
Because it's raining?
Oh, because it's raining. Yeah, it doesn't always rain. I don't know why they would do that.
They call them Old Galoshes.
Okay, well, that's good. So what did you think of the pickups that the team had? I know that there was... You guys obviously had excellent chemistry going into the trade deadline, and now you've got these new pieces, and all of them pretty much have seen the ice now. What do you make of it, and has it? Have you had a moment to let things sink in, and how does it feel?
Yeah, I liked all the moves they made. It's always tough to see Spoons go and Frank go. They're obviously pretty good friends of mine, and we had some good times together, and battle it out on the ice. But anytime you can add guys like Rick Nash, and I kind of knew Wingle through the grapevine. He was a college guy when I was in college, so I kind of knew his game a little bit and knew what kind of player he was. He's actually pretty similar to the way I go about things. And obviously Gianna's been around a while, so anytime you can add, veteran guys like that that have been through it, that have been around, I think that's a plus, especially when you're hoping to make a deep playoff run.
How do you and Wingles go about things the same way?
Well, he's not flashy. Even though he had a nice goal the first night, he's not flashy. He's more of a chip and chase, work the puck in the O-zone as much as possible and be really responsible defensively. And I think he's kind of a killer, too. So just a lot of similarities in our game. I think he was more of a point getter in college and had to kind of adapt to the pro ranks over time.
How much better are you than him?
I don't know. I don't know what his rating is on NHL 18, so I'll let them decide.
Well, that's a lie. As soon as they trade for someone, you're on that.
Well, it is kind of funny, Riley, too, because, I mean, you look at what's happened to David Krejci ever since Rick Nash has shown up. Yeah. Coincidence or not, first of all, from what you've seen out of that, how much does Rick Nash's style help out David Krejci, and what kind of difference does it make to have a completely different type of player on the wing if you're a center?
I just think Rick Nash is a world-class player. You saw last night how big and strong he is. He gets to the net. He can finish plays. He made a great pass on the first goal as well. And I thought the funny part was yesterday when Letang tried to body him around the net, and Rick, being 6'5", pretty strong frame, said, "Nah, I'm not taking that," and bodied him back right into the net. And I think that was kind of an example of how strong he is on his skates and just how big of a man it takes to try and push that guy around.
Riley, you guys played a game last night that was great to watch. I mean, there were goals being... We were talking about video games earlier. It's kind of like a video game last night. Are those games as fun to play in, or are you constantly looking over your shoulder because you know the other team can score three quick ones?
That was wild. I don't know if I've ever been a part of a first period like that before. Or just like, I think there was four or five goals in the first 4 minutes of the game. Like, did anyone even prepare for this game, or are we just playing shitty hockey?
Are you driving a garbage truck?
I'm driving in this nor'easterner storm right now. It's insane.
I know. We're trapped in... We don't have a window, and so it's like... It's I'm afraid to leave.
It's blowing pretty hard out here, and the rain dropped your massive fuse thing and it's not noise.
Are those your windshield wipers?
I can't be able to pick up on that.
Yeah, that's your windshield wipers slapping it off?
Yeah, that's the rain coming down onto the windshield.
What kind of car you drive there? Jetta?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
No, what kind of car do you drive? Oh,
that's a pitch for Jetta right there. That's free advertising. You're going to have to charge for that.
No, right. What kind of car do you drive?
2014 Jeep SRT.
Oh, okay.
Okay, who drives the flashiest car on the Bruins?
It's got to be Marchand.
Flashiest car? I don't know.
Marchand?
Fergie's got it. Nice whip. I heard Marshy had a Lamborghini back in the day. That did not surprise me one bit. He's matured since then, so I think he's into, you know, family sedans. So I would have loved to see him cruising around in Lambo back in the day.
He was awesome. Making like $300,000 a year, and he had a $250,000 car.
Could fill it up, but it looked good in the driveway.
Yeah, I see Pasta as being a guy. Pasternak as being a guy who would have a really flashy car.
Yeah, he needs to get braces.
He has a nice car. He's just got a new one. It's not super flashy, but I think you're bang on with that. I would expect him to have a lot flashier.
Yeah, very nice. Hey, all right, so Riley, we have a big fan of yours in studio. He was out at Pucks and Paddles. His name is Steve Adams. He's been kicking cancer's ass for a while now, and he's in the middle of the fight as well. So he's been here in studio. Massive fan of yours. He was out at Pucks and Paddles, and he's got a question for you. Take it away, Steve.
So when you're
let me pull that mic right towards your face, big Steve. There you go.
So when you're on the ice, does the arena help the home ice really help you guys out to make you guys strive for more greatness that you guys are this year?
Oh yeah, you can just feel the energy last night from warmups. I think last night after Big Z's fight, there was a standing ovation in there, and that just kind of gives you the chills. Makes you really appreciate the Bruins faithful and all the fans that come out each and every night. I think there was a night last year we were playing Toronto and Quater got in a fight too. It was a similar feeling to that. And it's one of the best feelings you could ever imagine.
How much does Sidney Crosby whine on the ice?
I didn't hear him whining yesterday. I think Malkin was a little bit upset with some of the calls. But yeah, some nights it's hard for those guys. Though. They get targeted each and every night, and you know Crosby's had concussions, so he's obviously trying to establish a little real estate out there, a little bit extra space if he can. So I understand, but that's our job to get right in that personal bubble each and every night.
Riley, did you ever see the video of back in 2003 when Sidney Crosby tried to pick a fight with Zdeno Chara?
2003.
I'm sorry, 2013. Rather, did you ever see that video?
Oh. I saw Phil yesterday kind of getting in there. I didn't know what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
You should have seen Kessel when he played here. He didn't touch anywhere in the middle of the ice for 55 right. games.
Skating in the corners, yep.
Yeah. He'd fly down the ice, but he was about never more than 4 feet away from them boards. He didn't want anything to do with the center of the ice. It's weird that he's that fat and that he was an athlete.
One of my favorite players in the league. He's hilarious. Yeah. If you watch the videos about him, he's so funny.
Really?
And he's very talented. Oh, yeah. His voice, his demeanor, his personality, he's just a funny guy.
Like, funny like how? Like, funny like a prick?
I don't know. He's just a guy that you could, you know, be around a lot and just laugh at a lot. Laugh
at a lot. Okay. You answered the question. Well, Riley Nash, best of luck getting into wherever you're headed today. And we always appreciate you calling in. And congratulations again on all the success.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, man. Yeah, I mean, Kessel.
I have a feeling we're going to get out, and it's just going to be a nightmare.
Oh, dude, it is going to be a nightmare.
Power's out everywhere, and I can't.
It is.
One sporting event I've been looking forward to for a week.
Is it outdoors?
No. It's the, my game. My game on Saturday for first place in the NAA. B4 league.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
No, the Michigan State game at noon.
Mm. Your friends,
of course.
Yeah, yes. It's going to be a nightmare. Getting wherever you're going to go, it's going to be a nightmare. Now, I don't think there's any power out. Listen, well, I'm speaking out of my ass. Well, I'm talking up.
Never goes out of Newton.
Never goes out of Newton.
Well, maybe on the other side. Okay. Oh, the bad side, yes.
The bad side of the Trader Joe's.
On the other side of the Johnny's Luncheonette.
Remember when the
Johnny's Luncheonette is right where he should be.
Yes.
Remember when the guy called in and said I was racist because I was talking about the other side?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Right. He said I was anti-Italian.
And then, and then he started making fun of you being Jewish.
Yeah, there's a crazy
which you are not.
Regardless, I think it's a silly thing to make fun of someone for. I mean, my children are. Somehow I don't think I could get away with that, though. But there's a crazy guy in Florida who calls up about twice a year and starts getting super anti-Semitic on me. But he said I was racist because I was joking about the other side of Newton. The Newton North PU.
That's right. Do you want to be seen around there?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, good old racist Fred.
Well, you
making fun of Newton North.
You know what that guy who called in did not end his call with?
Well, that's why they call me Codsy.
Oh, Codsy.
You're the best.
You're 6'2", and you're thinking Billy?
Codsy, that's gasoline, dummy, not liquor.
Well, that's why they call me Codsy.
Codsy, you got paint all over your face. Have you been huffing again?
Well, that's why they call me Codsy.
Codsy, that's not a toilet. You're in a kindergarten class.
Well, that's why they call me Codsy.
Yeah.
Why don't I feel like he's going to call it again?
But why not?
Why wouldn't he?
He's glued to the radio.
Two, man. Do we have Codsy's number? Not that we call him, but I mean, do we have it just in case? We had a thumbs up? A thumbs up. Okay, good.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll have to get Codsy in studio.
Well, yeah. Well, you can't be worse than P and Pete.
No, P and Pete was the worst.
The best is when P and Pete got all ornery with me when he walked in.
I've never seen the look of anyone who actually physically wanted to murder someone.
All right, so there's this guy, P and Pete. We're going on a lot of tangents today, but we used to have like a cast of characters.
Well, this was suggested by listeners. Like, hey, there's this guy I want you to meet.
And he's P and Pete because he used to pee himself. And he came in the studio and he didn't know anything about the show, so it's not like anything we said to him. And we had this event at the Paradise, and he came in and locked eyes with me and basically like tried to jump over the table and like take me out. And he didn't know who I was or what I was. He just got a hankering for kicking ass. And he was like, oh.
Well, that's why they call me Codsy.
Codsy, get off. You fell asleep on the train tracks again.
Well, that's why they call me Codsy.
All right. Godzy, wake up. You're in a trash can.
Well, that's why they call me Godzy.
All right. There you go. I can't think of anything else.
Okay.
All right. No commercials here. There are commercials. Here's the headline.
Win it Bruin style. Bruin style. It's playoff time, and now Chicago plays the Bruins. And just like playing Pittsburgh, we will leave this team in ruins. We'll bring the Stanley back to Boston, because we are the Bruins. Winning games is what we're doing. We've got Tuukka Rask. This guy knows how to stop the puck, and he moves very fast. Don't mess with Thornton, because that guy knows how to kick your ass. Don't mess with Jagr, Patrice Bergeron. Don't poke the bear. Do not poke the bear. Beat the Blackhawks. Let's beat the Blackhawks for the cup. Hey. We want the cup. Hey. We'll beat the Blackhawks. Yes, beat the Blackhawks for the cup. Hey. We want the cup. Hey. And this is how we're going to get the Stanley Cup. Win it Bruin style. Hey, David Krejci. Win, 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 win. Win it Bruin style. Hey, David Krejci. Win, 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 win. Win it Bruin style.
Now
it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
After the hat trick, that's all I was saying. Like, hey, David Krejci. A lot of dated references in there, but the chorus still sticks. So this is something I think is being made a lot out of nothing. There is a... anyone's trying to get anything as far as the Garoppolo trade, make a little more sense out of it. Why would they do that? Why would they do it for that amount of... I actually understand everything that went on behind that, and I think it's easy to explain, but the Kyle Shanahan quote that came out yesterday, have you heard about this? People are trying to paint it to be something that it's not. Here's the headline that's out there, is that Kyle Shanahan thinks that the Patriots were pushed into a Jimmy Garoppolo trade. Okay, so that is the way that it is being put out into the universe. Here's the actual quote.
I mean, last year when we came here, we were looking at all, you know, when we got to San Francisco, we didn't have, you know, after Colin opted out, we didn't have a quarterback on the roster. So we had to add a bunch of guys. And you look at all free agent possibilities, you look into draft possibilities, and you look into trade possibilities. And, you know, Jimmy is one of those guys going into last year of his contract that I think everybody knew there was a trade possibility, especially with the starting quarterback that he had there. So we looked into that just like every other situation, and they weren't interested at all early on. At this time last year, I don't think they were later, and I think they became a lot more realistic right before the trade deadline. I think that pushes a lot of teams to have to make certain decisions, and I think they tried to hold on to it as long as possible, but a few days before the trade deadline, it came up, and I think they had to make a move to help their team and their future.
That is the most innocent, innocuous quote, and for some reason, they're trying to put some sort of controversy behind it.
It was like, so boring, I checked out.
I know. I just want, because, I mean, that's like the headlines this morning. I mean, there's real stuff going on with the Patriots. There's interesting like things being written right now. I mentioned Tommy Curran before has an article that has like one of the most dramatic lines in it about like it being the end of times for the Patriots. And this is Tommy Curran, as we said, you know, usually... It writes fairly pro. If he leans pro Patriots,
Robert Kraft's bumping Billie Jean.
You do know that it's not his lover. Just a girl claims that he's the one.
The kid's not his son.
Yeah. The quote was, "My perception is from the Tommy Curran thing. My perception is that the friction and fatigue were at a record high in 2017. Left unchecked, it will end them as we know them." All right, that's kind of a bold statement coming from Tommy Curran. So there's real things to write about. I just saw that yesterday, and then I heard the actual quote, and I went, all right, well, that seems to be a whole lot of nothing. Well, on the heels of Black Panther's success, which is making just a gazillion dollars.
Somewhere DA is smiling.
Why?
Heels.
Okay, the heels, because he likes feet. The man is obsessed with feet. On the heels of that.
Now you've got my attention.
Okay. Yes, okay. Well, there is news afoot.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
In the Marvel Universe.
Can I worship the news?
Yes, you can worship. You can do some foot worship if you would like.
Yes, yeah.
So Avengers Infinity War was supposed to come out the first weekend in May, and they said, you know what? We're going to make a gazillion dollars with this movie, so why not move it up 1 week to April 27th? So they have moved up the release date because there's almost nothing coming out between then and May 18th when Deadpool 2 comes out, and they don't want to lose any money that they normally would have gotten. That Black Panther thing is phenomenal. I think that it had like the second or third best second week ever. Like the amount of people who are seeing it, it's not. I think this upcoming weekend they're predicting it's going to make $65 million in its third weekend. That's wild because it's kind of an okay movie.
Yeah, my dad didn't think it was that great.
You see, put it this way, I appreciate everything that it means. Like, I mean, when I see these people bringing, like, buying entire theaters out and bringing, you know, African American children to see it, that, hey, you have a hero that you can look up to, someone who's like you, that part is very cool, and I understand why that's a big deal. But people are talking about Best Picture nominations for Black Panther. Black Panther's like a middle-of-the-road Marvel movie, which still means it's good. But they're like nothing when you leave a theater. There's no action scene that you really remember. It's like, all right, well, that's kind of cool.
And
well,
like the Academy's going to ignore Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah. Well, that would be a crime.
Which was, by the way, like out for about 5 months.
Daddy's Home 2 did well?
It never went away.
I got to find out what the box office of that was.
I bet you it's a top five box office. Oh, no.
You mean of the year?
Top 10.
No, you are out of your mind.
All right, look. No. Box office mojo.
Dude, Daddy's Home 2. Okay, I'm going to check. I bet Daddy's Home 2 domestically made $65 million.
And you would be wrong.
How much?
$104 million dollars.
That's still not a ton.
Worldwide, $180 million.
Well, it didn't translate. Well,
it did not.
Enough.
Yeah. Daddy's home, too.
It didn't work overseas.
No, it got my money. Yeah. I sat there on a rainy day with my stupid kids.
But that was one of those, you just saw it because there was nothing else to do, right? Like, you didn't out Daddy's Home, too.
No, I really wanted to see it.
Well, I don't know.
That's one you circle on the old newspaper.
You're
going to go see that one.
You love Will Ferrell.
It was not a cartoon, and it was something that I thought my kids would not be frightened by.
Anyway, so you won't see a cartoon movie? There's some pretty good cartoon movies out there.
Oh, I've seen them. I don't care to. I mean, if I saw Zoolander 2 instead of a cartoon movie and sat through that with my kids.
Even if there's like a high quality one, like Coco or something like that.
I did not see Coco. Kids have. Coco, I did not see Coco.
Coco is very good. It's not of the choke you up kind.
Yeah,
Ever see Up?
Yeah,
first 15 minutes might be one of the most depressed I've ever been.
My kids have seen like three of the Saws. So,
are you kidding?
Yes, really?
I'm kidding. Okay.
At least I wasn't the only one to fall for that.
Was there a movie that you ever showed your kids that halfway through it you're like, ooh, this was in it?
No, because I won't show them anything violent, but I don't care about language. Vacation was weird because I forgot about the nudity.
There's a decent amount, right?
Nah, not really, but there is
You don't see Christie Brinkley, but you do see Beverly D'Angelo,
Yeah, Beverly
right?
D'Angelo okay. is nude. And, yeah, I okay. wish you saw Christie Brinkley. They would have made a lot more money. But she's so good looking in that movie. But, like, even my son was like, whoa. But, because Beverly D'Angelo, there's not a lot of nudity, but there is nudity.
I remember the conversations amongst Uncle Eddie's kids being
That's so over their heads.
Okay.
I mean, they had no idea.
Oh, yeah, because that's the first thing I thought of. Like, I couldn't
remember. Well, when I watched it again, like, when I was a kid, I had no idea what they were talking about.
Of course not. Now you watch it, and you're like,
yeah, hey, it's like incest and all this stuff.
Right,
but, like,
right.
But they had no idea. I mean, they had no idea. But the conversation didn't concern me, but it was weird. But they didn't react to the nudity.
Yeah, okay.
But that's the only movie that I've played for them where I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, Up was the one movie that we got one time, and I had not seen it. And, you know, it was like my son was probably like four or something at the time. And we're like, all right, well, I'll watch this. Hey, you know, good Disney movie. Blah, blah, blah. And so we start watching the film, and it's like, hey, look, it's this old couple. It's this couple. They love each other. Oh, they're growing old together. Oh, she can't have a baby. Oh, she's dying. My world. In the first, like, 15 minutes.
No, it's really depressing to sit there and watch.
They saw it in the theater, and it was like a grown man. Grown men everywhere were crying because it's like the saddest thing ever.
Yeah.
You can't look at you. You failure.
Yeah, that's one that got me. That legit got me choked up. It's funny your dad cried at E.T. because
the only time my mother's ever seen my father cry, including the death of his parents, was E.T.
E.T. gets me. E.T. gets me. Not many movies do. E.T. gets me. It's the John Williams score at the end.
I tried to play E.T. for my children, and they wanted nothing to do with it.
My kids liked it. But their favorite movie is Rocky IV.
Oh, my kids loved Rocky IV.
Rocky IV is the best.
Yeah, Rocky III, Rocky IV.
Somebody said my mom took me to see Team America when I was 11.
Oh, boy.
Team America in the theater wasn't as over the top as it was when it came out.
Yeah,
they had to edit out a bunch of stuff from that scene. Like, because I remember I was watching it because I love Team America and Step Brothers, I think, are my two favorite comedies. So I went and saw it at the theater, and then I got it on DVD. And I remember when they had extra scene that involved like bodily fluids.
Yeah,
like I screamed watching it at home. I was laughing so hard because I didn't expect.
Unfortunately,
it.
I knew it was going to come.
Okay, so you had read about that?
Yeah. Well, we had to change all our Netflix stuff because I've caught my son watching the first 5 minutes of Sausage Party.
Oh yeah,
oh.
Can't do that. Right.
I
have a bunch of South Park DVDs that I've kind of had to move out of the way.
Oh, they watch South Park. They don't like it, but there was the one where the old lady was farting, and they thought it was the greatest thing.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. All right. I don't care about the language, the violence. I don't want to watch the violence. That's what I want them to get scared. The swear is I don't care about so much. And nothing racial. Nothing racial. Ooh, boy.
Yeah,
I won't
play
in the South Parks where they talk about Stan's mom or anything.
Oh, no,
like
no,
that.
No, no, no.
No. It's all right. So we will be back, and we'll find out. Zolak will be in studio, and it'll be very fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo. Hello, 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 hello. No, 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 no. Yo,
Now I'm bumping Chul Cheya Cheya. Tay Tucka 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 Taya Taya. Now I'm bumping Hey Ma. Now playa playa. I am a beautiful hawk. I have big wings. I want a big house. I want big rings. I am an idiot. I want big things. Akbar Jahangir. I like big king. I do my thing. They want to make me a prisoner.
985. Like a brown Hare Krishna. The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich. Shout out to your sister. I kissed her. All right.
I am a toaster.
Rich, we have special guests.
We do. We've got Bill Adams and his brother Steve. And we met them at Pucks and Paddles. Big fans of the Boston Bruins. And Steve has been fighting the good fight for a while now. Would you guys kind of like to? I mean, we're
the floor is yours.
The floor is yours. If you would like to. I mean, we wanted to get
you
in studio
to,
because
but the floor is yours.
Yeah,
you
there are special guests in studio this morning, and
you've been watching on TV.
So.
They are the they both have facial hair.
First, I'd like to thank you guys for the opportunity to be on here. It's means a lot to me and my family for what you guys have done for my brother, the support you guys have shown, and everyone here at the Sports Hub. My man Zolak out back somewhere has been absolutely incredible, and I want to thank you. You know, I know my brother been super pumped about this for like 2 weeks now, going to doctor's appointments, saying, "Oh, I don't care about that, man. I'm going on the Sports Hub." You know what I mean? So, we really appreciate it. It means a lot. You know, it's cancer's a tough thing to deal with. You know, and I want to thank the people down at the Tufts Medical Center for on behalf of my brother for all the treatment they did with him. You know, we found out on I think it was a Wednesday that he had brain cancer, and on Thursday he was in for like a 10-hour brain operation on it, and we didn't know anything about it. So they treated us very well. They've done a good job, and we all got to keep donating to fight the good fight and keep up with it. You know, we hope your wife's doing well as well, Rich.
Oh, thanks.
You know, we really hope the best for this, and we're gonna put together and be like the Bruins, man. We're just gonna keep we're gonna keep kicking ass, man, and keep going for that cure. You know, so we appreciate everything you guys done for us, and you too, Wallach.
Oh, thanks. I'll throw you in there too, Wallach. Just by proxy, you happen to be in the room.
I'm here.
No, I gotta give you some love, man. Wallach, where you at?
Well, Steve, you were telling me off the air that the whole Pucks and Paddles thing is real close to your heart because you're dealing with the whole Bruins side of things over at Tufts Medical Center, right? You're seeing this firsthand.
Yes, and I went and I couldn't ask for more. You guys are terrific, and very blessed to be able to watch you guys and listen to you guys every morning. I mean, good laughs and everything like that when I was going through all this, and also watching this Bruins team keep kicking ass. And I can't ask for enough how great you guys are. You make me laugh, and believe it or not, it really helps laugh and really does. Just thinking about this every day and watching you guys on TV and listening to you on the radio, believe it or not, it really helps a lot.
Well, I know how much it takes out of someone.
Listen
to
on
go
the radio,
and
the TV doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't get bonuses
right,
for the TV.
We want to wake up in the morning and see a face. Right. Come on, man. You know, we got to see that. Somewhere.
That's what I'm hoping.
Right. This is the moneymaker right here.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, I mean, it's. I know it's tough, you know, going through every day and getting up and fight. And, you know, is there anything else that gets you through? Are there any people that, you know, help you every morning and get, you know, basically get the guts up to face what you got to face every morning?
Yeah, I mean, I got an amazing wife, amazing daughter that, I mean, really strive me for more. I get the best of friends, amazing friends. My family's awesome. My brother's absolutely amazing. And I work at a great Admiral Metals. It's a company. It's everybody there so supportive. And, I mean, I'm going to start crying here. But just being everybody supportive they are, it's just... it's absolutely amazing, and I want to thank everybody. And again, listening to you guys really, really, really helps me out because I laugh a lot listening to you guys, and keep up the amazing work.
And our mother, on that Tuesday before we found out about my brother, she was diagnosed with cancer as well. So we found about my mother on Tuesday. My mother Sue, we love you, and she's putting up the good fight right now, going through the radiation and chemo as well. So it's been a tough time for our family, but you know, like. It's amazing how life goes until things like this happen, and then you really find out like what it's all about, and you know who's there and all the support you get. And we've been truly blessed by all of you guys. My man Zolak here, you know, being able to reach out to him and have him do this stuff for us. It's just it's incredible what we get to do, and just to see the doctors and the, you know, we know we're fortunate enough where we're adults, but to see, you know, little little children and stuff like that, you know, we can't, you know, our hearts go out to them personally because we can't imagine. We can't imagine going through this at a younger age. You know, it's shocked to hear about a grown adults like ourselves, but for kids and stuff like that. So we can't thank Tufts Medical Center enough for everything they did, the floating hospital for children, you know, and being able to do that. You know, personally, I know at that time, too, it was hard for us to, you know, find out by my mom and then taking off work and then finding out about my brother, getting more work off there, too. So my employment and the guys I work would have been tremendous supportive in this time, and you know, meeting with you guys last week and doing all this, like we can't thank you enough. Like you,
thank you
to keep him going, man. To put a smile on this kid's face.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, Steve, you know, it's awesome that you're fighting a good fight, and it's also cool too to have a guy. I mean, being a guy who's supportive, you know, that's also tough. You know, it's like one of these things where having the family around you, and I know every day you probably look at him and go, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to help me out. You know, but it's cool to have family and friends that are right there by your side.
And yeah, and just my father and mother, really, it's unbelievable, everybody I have in my life. I can't say enough.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, what can people do? Because, I mean, it's the one thing you want. What can people do to make sure that if someone's going to go through something that you're going through, who are the right people to donate to? Who are the right people to help out? You know, how do you...
Kazi.
How do you make it better? Not Kazi. Kazi's he's donated to his own liquor fund. So, what can people do?
Just be very supportive. I mean, I'm not asking for anything. Just, I mean...
For anybody else going through this, we'd say, you know, maybe donate to the Cam Neely Foundation because they're the nonprofit that's been keeping us afloat, that kept him down there to go through his stuff right there. And for anybody else that's in my shoes, just being there for them. I know my brother wasn't allowed to drive for like 6 months or whatever it was after the surgery. You know, I picked him up every Sunday. It was just me and his day. We'd go do whatever he wanted. Go to the movies. We saw our Daddy's Home 2 there for every
I thought you were supportive. I thought you were being supportive.
So too.
You know, and it was a,
why'd you torture him like that?
Yeah. Well, and you thought your chemo treatments were tough.
Yeah, it was literally the only movie open on like midday at like 11. I'm like, look, we can see Daddy's Home too and just hide in the back somewhere, slouched down. I hope no one sees us, you know? They don't recognize us.
Yeah, hold on here. I mean, wait, maybe we can do some programming adjustments. Is there anything you don't like about any of the shows or any of the people?
I like this. Be the program director here.
Or the rejoins.
The midday show still kicks ass.
The midday show kicks ass. Nice job, Beetle.
Yeah.
And, you like the open to the midday show. Rock and roll.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A little bit of that.
Without a doubt, man. I get up at desk, my desk at work, and I put on the headphones as soon as the Josie comes on and all that stuff.
Nice.
Man, they're like, they just look at me like, you need to sit down, Bill. Shout out to my boss, Kara, out there. Yeah, I need to sit down, you know.
You're about to say something,
Jim Murray.
Play some theme song for the Bruins. Thunder. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na
insane.
Walk right. kicks ass.
See, thank you.
Eat that.
All right. All right, we'll keep fighting the good fight.
That's right, right buddies.
So damn pleasure having you guys in this.
Thank you guys for coming in.
Very much. Thank
and
you
thank
so
you
much.
To intern Nick for picking up my dog's waist.
He just walled dicked him, by the way. He's just shaking his head. There he goes. Wow.
Everyone, enjoy your weekend.
All right.
A big game for me tomorrow.
Good luck.
First place in NAA.
Into the Nor'easter, babe. Here we go.
Let's go.